Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and thank you for joining me today. Well, I've just been so excited and wrapped up in this message I've been sharing with you all week, and I can see that we're going to have to continue on next week, but that's all right. I don't want to be in a rush, and I don't want you to miss anything that God will have for you. Remember, as I began this week and I was sharing before we really got into the details, that John chose miracles that marked stages of fuller teaching or revelation that would lead us to higher faith, just as it did his disciples. And so, while we looked at the actual events, the important things were that we wanted to glean from this passage of Scripture, John, the second chapter, verses 1 through 11, is the lessons, the revelation that we can learn from the experience that the disciples had, those at the wedding. The first thing we saw were the relationship that we have with the Lord is subject to change. God deals with us differently. His love doesn't change, His character doesn't change, His faithfulness doesn't change, but He deals with us differently. It's one thing when we're a little baby, another thing when we're a grown up. He expects a certain standard of behavior. And the same thing with his mother. She no longer could exert maternal authority over him. She was also, as she said in that, what we call the Magnificat, "My soul magnifies the Lord. In God, my Savior." She needed a Savior. She loved her son. She was his mother for 30 years. But when Jesus began, he left. Remember, he was the head of, after Joseph died, he was the head of the family business. And obviously, there was a time that the business or the income for the family was able to be maintained by others, that he was able to then spend time in the desert 40 days and 40 nights and basically begin his public ministry. So, first of all, we see the importance of our relationship with the Lord, that there is a transition or a change that occurs over time as we grow in him. And we learned about the importance of obedience, that Mary urged obedience, Jesus commanded obedience before that miracle be manifest. And then we also learned that God's ways are exceedingly abundant. And he, as far as those water pots, normally a normal earthen wine jar would hold about 40 gallons, and they, each of the six of them, held 20 to 30 gallons each. That was a lot of wine, and this was a demonstration of this is the God that we served. He has created all things for his pleasure, and for his pleasure they are and were created. He's not a stingy God. He's magnificent in all of his ways, and he doesn't skimp on anything. Look at the glories of the natural world around us, even in its fallen state. All right, let's go on to the fourth thing, and that's God's divine order or his ways. And then we also want to look at the establishment of due order as the Lord allows. Okay, what are his ways? There's a divine order. And in order for us to grow in the knowledge of the Lord, in order for us to mature, we have to know his ways. There are beautiful prayers throughout the Psalms on this subject, basically Psalm 25, 4 and 5. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. Verse 25 says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Praise God. And most obvious, they're his ways. Okay, that might seem obvious, but that doesn't mean it's our way. It doesn't mean it's man's way. It's a departure from tradition. And God, he's very He's faithful, he's unchanging, but he's not predictable. You never know what he's going to do. And I think it's because he likes excitement and adventure, and he wants us to get used to excitement and adventure. Beloved, we'll never be bored in heaven. I know it. There will be countless, it's just too much to contemplate. It's too exciting. But our God is not predictable, but he does have ways. He has principles. And check this out. For the Jewish ruler of a banquet to drink wine from the purification jars would have been unthinkable. Those purification jars were water pots that people could wash their hands with. That's why the water was there, so they could refresh themselves and wash their hands. And Jesus, he put wine in it, the best wine, far better than what they had been serving. And what happens here, remember, in fact, Jesus specifically said, he has a sense of humor, he said, draw him now, beer to the governor of the feast. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the wine, of course, he didn't know where it came from, he called the bridegroom, because he didn't know who else to call, and he said, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Oh, hallelujah. And of course, what an amazing thing. Okay, so who was the ruler and governor of the feast? Well, the exact office is uncertain. Very possibly he'd be like a wine steward or the head waiter. He would taste or approve of the beverages before they were used. Obviously, this was supplied by the bridegroom or friends. And of course, Jewish custom at that time called for a wedding to be at the home of the bridegroom. And he went to bring his bride and brought her to his home. He was basically the monitor of the feast. He had to see everyone had enough, that there was no excess, no disorders or indecencies. And some think that this master of the feast or governor of the feast was a priest or a Levite who would have asked a blessing and given thanks. That, of course, would be greatly understandable. It was a time of great festivity, a wonderful time of celebration in Jewish life. And apparently, he was shocked and delighted, supposing the bridegroom had drawn from his private stock, which had to be used rather than dampen the festive spirit of the wedding. He was so, obviously, he was so impressed with it, he had to go to the bridegroom himself. And so we have to understand, Jesus does it his ways. Doesn't matter that they were purification jars instead of just filling up the wine jars. He didn't do that, did he? No, he chose the purification jars. That reminds me of Peter's vision. When he was fasting, he was up on the roof praying, and he was getting really hungry, and this sheet came down three times, and the Lord told him to eat, and he said, not so, Lord, my lips have never tasted anything unclean. And the Lord said, don't call anything unclean that I have cleansed, referring, of course, he saw application and understanding to the Gentiles who would also receive the gospel. All right, I promised another way, another area in which we will learn, and that is the establishment of God's due order. And this is very, very important. Jesus was a man under authority. Do you remember the centurion who just, if I can use modern terminology, blew Jesus' mind when he said, Lord, you don't have to come, just speak the word and my servant will be healed. It brought Jesus aback. He said, I have not found so great a faith in Israel. No, not in all of Israel. He was so impressed because the centurion said, I am a man under authority. I say to that one, go, and he goes. That one, come, and he comes. He understood authority, and Jesus was delighted and, of course, fulfilled the man's request. And so there is an establishment of due order. Those who have the rule over us, those who have authority over us, God has placed them there for our protection and for our safety. Like the husband in the marriage relationship, the husband is the head of the woman. Now, in the body of Christ, there are male or female apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers that equipped the saints for the working of the ministry. And I don't have time to go into it, but we see even in the pages of Scripture, Priscilla and Aquila, her name is mentioned first. She was the woman partner of this husband and wife team. And so God, there's no male or female in Christ. When it comes to spiritual things, Deborah was a mother in Israel, praise God. So sex is not of importance, but however, in the marriage relationship, the head of the marriage is the man. We're talking in an ideal situation where he loves and honors God and protect. Why? Because the wife needs to be nurtured and protected. Also, parents over children. Why? To bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They're to protect, they're to nourish, they're to supply every need of their children. Every need, not necessarily every whim or desire. That gets them spoiled. Anyway, so this is how God moves, and Jesus always set an example. There's New Testament protocol. There's no disorder or confusion. When a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies shall be at peace with him. Remember David and Saul? David would not lift his hand against the anointed of the Lord. He had several opportunities to kill him, and he wouldn't. Remember John at Jesus' baptism? He said, "Suffer us to fulfill all righteousness." Listen, beloved, I have people that I know who have real authority problems. They may call themselves Christians, they might name the name, but I tell you, beloved, they have never learned to submit to authority. Beloved, we have got to do that, especially in the full gospel Pentecostal realm. They're like wild Mustangs. That's one thing I have to say about my Catholic heritage. I grew up Catholic and was in the world 10 years, but then I got saved. Beloved, Catholics understand submission, and they are some of the, Brother Glass used to say, give me a whole church full of spirit-filled Catholics. Why? Because many are not willing to submit to God's divine order. It has to be a godly order. We don't submit ourselves to unrighteous leaders. That's where discernment comes in. That's where having wisdom and revelation from the Holy Spirit. But beloved, God has given godly leadership. Jesus said, or the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, he said, "I will raise up shepherds after mine own heart." Those who are following the Lord, who have laid down their lives, even as Jesus for the sheep, those are the ones that are to protect you and counsel you and instruct you. Well, I could go on for another 10 minutes, but can't do that. My time is gone. I bring this broadcast to a close with an invitation for you to join me tomorrow at this same time. I love you. The announcer will give our contact information. Won't you write? I'd love to hear from you. God bless you. I love you. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,